Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. And you are listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And I am so excited today to have on the podcast the Katie Duke, the amazing Katie Duke. Katie is a nurse who's become a nationwide public figure, a role model, and an inspiration for medical professionals, nurses, student nurses, all of us in medicine out there. And I love her refreshing, honest attitude. So, Katie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I think that the most humbling thing that you say is about the honest attitude, because I think there's a lot of crap on social media these days. And, you know, people will lie to their audience just to sell a product. And, you know, I know that when I started my social media, platform and presence, I wanted to be somebody who was realistic and transparent and just relatable. So thanks for having me on here and for supporting my message.
Yeah. Where can our listeners find you on Instagram? What's your handle?
My everything is at the Katie Duke. That's T-H-E and then my name, K-A-T-I-E-D-U-K-E.
Perfect. And for those of you who don't know, Katie is a board certified acute care nurse practitioner with like 13 years or more of experience, right?
Yeah. I was a nurse for about 8 years before I went to grad school. And then I've been an NP now for 2.5 years. But altogether, this is year 14 here working in nursing.
And where do you work? In the big city, huh?
I work in New York City. Not going to say where I work because they are not paying me, nor are they endorsing my messages. But I work at a top 10 hospital in the United States in New York City. It's a large teaching facility, and I work in inpatient cardiology, in heart failure, heart transplant, and mechanical circulatory support. And additionally, I work with the cath lab patients. And also with anybody who comes into the hospital who needs their heart monitored.
Wow, all the easy stuff, huh?
The easy stuff. But before that, I worked in the emergency room for many, many years. So I have a good mix of stuff in my background.
Definitely. My husband's a cardiologist, so I know exactly what you do every day. He does interventional.
Yeah.
He does total aortic valve replacements and... you know, all those
crazy
middle of the night stories where you get to save people. So it's very inspiring.
Yep.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, it's fun.
And in social media, you've become sort of a pioneer. Like, I know you like to say that there's tons of doctors out there in the media, but very few nurses that are public figures, if any. So is that
if you just look on TV, there are all these physicians who have their own TV shows. There's all these physicians who have talk shows. During any sort of a national public health crisis or any sort of a health topic covered by any media for any agenda on any news network or television station, it's always covered by a physician. And, you know, physicians are, we're all colleagues here. We all work in healthcare. But, I just always wondered for the long time, you know, why are there never any nurses that are, you know, resourced to be, the people who are delivering the news to the nation, or people who are, you know, resourced out as, as a reliable source for information for patients and the public, you know, as far as the media is concerned. And we don't have nurses on TV. We have a couple people who are very active. There's Nurse Alice. She's very active at her local news station out there in Los Angeles at KTLA. But, you know, there's really not many people that are nurses that are, you know, sourced from media networks and journalists, you know, to be that person of, you know, who can we turn to deliver this news to the people? Mm-hmm. And it's always physicians. So,
well, it's always men physicians. Correct that. It's always generally always male physicians, although there's a few women out there. But
but you're right, though. It's always male and physicians. So it's Dr. Gupta, Dr. Oz, Dr. Besser, Dr. Phil, doctor, a million other doctors, but it's always men and it's always physicians. And so I think there is a big void in the industry of not only a healthcare personality that was a nurse, but a female, because, you know, we really don't have many that are reputable, reliable, consistent figures out there that are female.
That's so true. And I think it's important for the new generation that's growing up to know that nursing is not what it used to be, because there's sort of this old school idea of what is a nurse. And I don't know if modern women, I'm hoping that modern women are finding that attractive, because, you know, they're going to take care of us when we're old. And I hope it's not just millennials who are like wanting to be beautiful and glamorous and nobody's going to go into nursing anymore. You know, I worry.
Yeah.
I worry. Yeah. Who's going to take care of me when I'm old and I need surgery and I need to have a great nurse? Is there going to be anybody
else? I know.
They're all going to be on Instagram taking selfies.
Yep, I know. Or they just want to be on some reality show. And I find that, you know, that the young people in this country these days, we have such a convoluted version of what our goals should be. And we're getting those goals and those dreams and career aspirations from social media, and what the majority of our young audience is looking up to is overnight reality show superstars, people who have become famous simply because of how their body looks, mm-hmm. not for their brain. We have way too many Instagram models and like video girls, and not enough Michelle Obamas, and Very not true. Enough women that, you know, are founded and stemmed in an education and a career that is based in positive leadership and something that you could go home and easily show your parents or your grandma or your young daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, these days everybody just wants that get rich quick or that get famous overnight scheme. And it's so easy to take off your clothes on Instagram, and it's so easy to take a selfie and have your big fake boobs out there, but you know, what are you going to do when you're 70? And do you want your daughter growing up like that? And so that's one of the things. And I don't want to bring down other women who do those things, because to each his own, but that is not the route that I am choosing to go. And I feel that we need more women out there on social media who are representative of a very, dignified, classy, educated, career-driven, education-driven group of people that our young girls can look up to. Because we need more women and young girls wanting to go to college. We need them to want to go and get degrees. We need them to want to respect their bodies and to respect, their own lives and be, you know, real relatable figures within their own circles. And so, you know, we need more people on social media doing that. But it's just not that popular on social media because it doesn't get as many likes,
right.
You know, than right. somebody who, you know, is taking off their clothes, or somebody who is on some trashy reality show. So
I totally agree with you. And I take care of so many beautiful models and girls, and all of us want to look good. That is human nature, to want to look our most attractive.
Oh yeah.
Put out our best face. But let me tell you, even the most gorgeous models that I see, we all have these heart-to-heart conversations. When patients are in my chair, it's almost like I'm a hairdresser and I get to hear the most intimate part of their lives and their you know, what bothers them, what they're self-conscious about, their self-esteem issues, and where they feel their flaws are. And I always, always try to build people up. And I am always chatting with my Instagram models, too, about, like, you know, beauty is temporary. It's such a truth that all of us are just going, you know, we're riding this wave. We look our best every day. But eventually, beauty does not carry you. And you need to have brains. You need to have education.
Yeah, you need to have a bigger plan or something. But I guess the whole thing is, you know, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I support any woman with whatever method she needs to make her earnings and make her career and her income from. I would never knock someone else's hustle. But what I'm trying to get at is that we just have all the, like, we have so many people who are huge, millions and millions of followers, who will take a picture from the gym or pose with their flat tummy tea or their fake vitamins, and they'll say, oh, I got my six pack and my big, huge butt and my 24-inch waist because of this and that, when really they had, you know, liposuction, tummy tuck, and you know, a Brazilian butt lift, which is fine for them. But we are putting these really terrible, ideas of what beauty and popularity is in everybody who's in that audience. And we're talking millions and millions of young girls. And, and it's like, that stuff is only going to last for so long. But I feel that we're really doing a big disservice to our younger generations and even ourselves, you know, because since social media was created, it's like a blessing and a curse. You have all these great opportunities, these great relationships, these great business, you know, business opportunities and room to kind of do your own thing and have a platform and a voice. But it also has been a festering ground for issues like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I think it's important for people to know, you know, a realistic side of everybody's story, and that we just need more like real, relatable, honest people out there.
That's very true. I think it's a double-edged sword. It does make us happy to look at beautiful images every day, but it does also make you judge yourself harshly and unrealistically. And it's really refreshing when you get like a 3-day weekend and you turn off your phone and you don't look at any stupid postings. But it's very refreshing.
I know. And I have a vacation coming up, and I'm like, I don't want to check social media at all during this trip, but then I want to post and share my stories from my trip. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and go on my trip and just log on to like upload my video or upload my photo and then put my phone away, because we're all really addicted to it.
As soon as you start to scroll, that's the problem, because then you just keep scrolling.
I know. And like today I was supposed to go and like run errands. I got back from DC today and I sat on my couch and I'm scrolling and I'm like, oh, what am I doing?
Yes, but it's not too long before a whole hour and a half goes by and you're like, oh, that was supposed to be 20 minutes.
Exactly. Easy. I'm going to start setting an alarm clock.
Exactly.
Scrolling alarm clock.
Well, one of the things I love about you is how refreshing your attitude is about people not having shame for their face and what they want to do with it. So I just want to talk a little bit about why women shouldn't have filler shame or Botox shame or any kind of shame about doing something to themselves.
Well, do you know why there is so much shame out there? There is so much shame out there because for so long, nobody wants to admit that they were doing it, and it was taboo. We have all of these beautiful celebrities out there and beautiful people who are in our media, and they have these, you know, very youthful or at least gracefully aging faces, and they will say, oh, it's because of my face cream, or, oh, it's because, you know, my mother was the same way, or, oh, I just, you know, I've just always had good genes, when really they've been getting Botox and filler since they were in their 20s or 30s. But because nobody ever talks about it, what happens is we have this big divide between natural beauty, enhanced beauty, / fake beauty. And because none of these so-called beauties and these media people and these very popular personalities have ever admitted to doing any of this stuff, everybody assumes that that's just natural beauty, you know, and that if you have to do something like this, it's because you either don't feel good about yourself, you have low self-esteem, or you're just a fake person, like you're fake. And, you know, there is a big difference, in somebody coming out and saying, no, actually, like, I'm getting this because I want to, or no, I actually am getting this because I hate my wrinkles on my forehead, I hate my crow's feet and my 11 lines, and it just bothers me, and I don't have low self-esteem, but it just bothers me. And everybody has a right to have things that bother them. It doesn't mean that we have to be unconfident, you know, low self-esteem women and men out there. It just means that shit, we're human. We have shit that bothers us, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for so long, there has been nobody who's been willing to be forthcoming and honest with this in the media, and it just hasn't been something that's really been covered and exposed and just like, sponged on the market. And so when we have a few people that come out here and there and they're like, actually, the reason I look like this at age 50 is because I've been getting Botox and filler, and people are like, oh, oh my God, you're one of those? Oh, you're fake, but you're not real. And then it's like, do you really think anybody could look like this at fucking 60 years old with not a wrinkle? Like, give me a break.
So yeah,
we have established this hugely fabricated version and of what people deem, you know, natural beauty and what people think is authentic and real. And just because you get filler and Botox does not mean you're fake. It doesn't mean you have low self-esteem, and it doesn't mean you're not happy with yourself. I have great self-esteem. I think great things about myself, but I hate my wrinkles. It doesn't mean that I'm less of a woman, and it doesn't mean that I, you know, am not confident, and it doesn't mean that I, do not embrace my natural beauty. Shit, trust me, I got tons of things that I can embrace, okay? Lots of other things. But we need to get more of that message out there that, you know, that does not, like, those things don't parallel each other. But the problem is that we still don't have all of these big media people and these big, huge people with platforms, you know, being honest about their regimen and being honest about their journey and being honest about their path. And, you know, if someone doesn't want to come out and say, oh, yeah, I get all this stuff done, then that's fine. You don't have to. But don't sit there and try and preach to your audience of 30, 40, 100 million people that you have this perfect body and perfect face and not one freaking wrinkle because you use La Mer skin cream.
Or don't drink, play. It's because you, like, drink 8 glasses of water a day. Green
yeah,
juice.
Or because you drink 15, exactly.
Kale and
or
eight
because you're a
of
vegan.
That's
like, give
right.
me a break.
Well, I think it's coming around. Like, Christy Brinkley now is very open about her use of Botox. Xeomin actually is her favorite. And even Cindy Crawford. You know, I think women, Cindy Crawford's 50, Christy Brinkley's 60. Gorgeous examples of
yep.
maintaining their faces. And finally, they've kind of come around, and the word is out that they use Botox and fillers. And it's just maintenance. You know, you take care of your teeth every 6 months. If you want to keep your face, you got to take care of your face about every 6 months.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not, it's not
unreasonable. And there's just, and there's new methods and new technologies and new advancements in taking care of your face and your body and your skin. Things that didn't exist 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, the market is ever evolving, and that's the great thing about healthcare in our world and in our times these days is that there's always something new and something fun.
Yeah.
And
what's
you know,
your
like
favorite
for instance,
thing
this,
that you've done? What's your favorite thing you've done on yourself that you love the most?
Honestly, Botox and filler. Like for me, Botox and filler has been something that has given me my just a consistent, like, satisfied buyer. Like 100%, never fail. It will never do you wrong. You don't have to wait 3 months. It kicks in within a matter of like 1 to 2 weeks, and it's like, oh, look, there it is.
Yeah.
That's what I paid for. That's what I got. I'm a satisfied customer. Oh, look, the wrinkle is not there. I mean, if you want instant gratification, unless you're ordering something from Amazon Prime, it doesn't exist in this world. Like, nothing. Like, so when it comes to Botox and filler, that is the closest you'll get to instant gratification. But it's something that makes huge differences. And we're talking millimeters of changes when it comes to filler. And then we're talking about small, subtle changes and preventative things when it comes to Botox. But I look back, like, right now, and I'm like, all right, if I look at myself from 10 years ago, obviously I'm about 25 pounds heavier, and I can tell that, like, my face is sagging a little bit, but I'm like, man, like, I look good for being 37 years old. And I attribute a lot of that to not only just my energy and how I feel, but I tell people I'm like Botox and filler because that shit works. And I just, I wish I would have started using it when I was younger.
Yeah.
But, but you can't go back. But anytime somebody asks me, they're like, what's your favorite things? Palmer's cocoa butter formula. I don't use any lotion or creams. That is the only stuff that I use. The stuff that comes in the jar, my whole body, a good skincare regimen, Botox and filler. Like,
amen.
At the end of the day, those three things right there. Everybody has their must-haves, but, like, I was at a Memorial Day barbecue yesterday, and my girlfriend touched up my Botox,
really?
I, like, filmed it on Instagram, and I'm like, you know, like, people need to see it. People are always like, oh, you look so good, and how do you stay looking awake after working all these hours? And I'm like, coffee and Botox? I mean, what do you want me to say?
That's awesome.
So,
I get a lot of questions from my followers, many of whom are nurses, or many of whom want to go into aesthetics and cosmetic injecting. Do you have any advice for them as a nurse, if you're just in regular nursing field, but you want to switch over to cosmetics? Like, is there a good way to do that as far as what you know?
Yeah, so I am not a cosmetic injector myself. I am a receiver, and I am a great, loyal receiver, But what I will advise for any nurse or nurse practitioner who is looking into going into that business is a few things. First and foremost, team up or partner with an experienced, you know, practice owner such as yourself, and shadow with them. Maybe go and walk through a few shifts and make sure, like, is this something that I really want to do, first of all? And if you decide that, yes, this is what I really want to do, then I would take an actual course. You know, don't just, you know, get some certification from some random website or work, you know, 8 hours at the local Groupon factory and be like, oh, yeah, I'm a certified injector now. Because there are many, many nerves and blood vessels that go through this region right here that can make or break somebody's life if your technique is not proper. So, two is make sure that you have the proper education, training, and certifications to do this. And number three, you want to go into business for yourself and you have no experience, it might be a good idea to work with somebody for at least a year or two to really know the industry, where you can make industry contacts, for instance, like at Allergan or other companies. You can make product contacts. You can get experience from people. And then lastly, if you're like finally to the point where you say, all right, I want to actually launch my own business and I want to do my own thing, then you need to get an attorney and help you license, patent, trademark your business, get your website together, get a marketing plan together, hire a social media team, find an office space, or if you're going to pack up a bag and be a traveling injector, you need to get a business plan together. But you also need to think about how you're going to craft your brand. What are you going to be your color schemes? Are you going to have your own products down the line? Do you need to trademark your name? You need to get your website together. You need to make sure you partner with influencers so that everybody in the whole market looking up this stuff knows that you're a new person and that you're trustworthy and that you have experience and that you are looking to build new clientele. So,
oh my gosh,
like,
you're like a wealth of info. You're a wealth of information. I said you're a wealth of information.
Those are like my top fives for anybody who is like, all right, I think I want to start my own thing.
Yeah.
And no matter what your thing is, if you want to be an injector or if you want to be, you know, a public speaker or somebody, you know, that I wish I would have, I've learned those things from over the years. And granted, I'm a nurse practitioner, but I don't have a product that I can sell. I don't have a skill that I can sell. Like, I can go to Dr. K's website and I can buy skincare products from the KD skincare line. I can book a consult if I'm having anything related to the head and neck. I can get injections. I can get PRP scalp. I can do all these great things. You have something that you can sell. And the good thing about being an injector is that you have something to sell. You have a product and you have a skill. You know, so it's either you have something to sell or you have a brand to sell. But halfway in between is that happy marriage of taking what you have to offer people and you yourself as a brand and finding a way to make those come together and then move forward.
Well, Katie, you're such an inspiration, and I think you're a huge resource for all the nurses out there. So I hope you keep doing what you're doing. And those of you who want to reach out, she answers all her DMs and messages. So find her at the Katie Duke on Instagram and her website. And come visit me in LA when you're out here. I would love to see you. And thanks so much for coming on our podcast. I hope you tell all your followers to listen, subscribe, and like us. And you can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. It's DRKAY. And my website, the same name, beautybydrk.com. And that's it for now. Stay beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. But more bigger and more important than that is thank you for, you know, being a woman, being a presence for women, not only in the media and social media, but also female physicians. You know, women physicians do not get enough representation in the media, nor do they get enough credit for the groundbreaking work that's done, whether it is from research and drug trials to, you know, developing podcasts to help people form and inspire themselves on their path down their careers. So thank you for that.
Yay, thank you. Well, stay beautiful and come visit me soon.